Well, happy Easter in this room and online. And man, I can feel the presence of God here today. I don't know what you're facing, but God is for you, and who can be against you? And he lives today, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. So turn to your neighbor, give him a high five, and tell him Jesus lives and he is for you. Encourage someone online, do the same thing. Amen. Encourage someone today. Amen. And you may be seated. Man, it's so good to have you. Thank you so much for being here in person and for joining us online. You know, I want to welcome all the treatment centers that are right now streaming us into their facilities. Give it up for them. Love it. And we believe in you. And I also want to welcome all those receiving live Spanish translation. Come on, give it up for them. Online campus, we love you. And if you are new to City, we ask you to please make 3 visits because we think it takes a little bit of time to get to know us. And we would love the chance to get to know you as we love, as we build, and as we lead. And on this Easter Sunday, when I think about the resurrection of Jesus, because we are celebrating that Jesus is alive. Amen? And so when I think about that, man, we could preach so many different messages in so many different ways. But in my preparation for this special weekend, I really just came down to the word hope. Everyone say hope, please. Hope. You know, it's been said that man can live about 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. We all need hope today. And when you think about the resurrection of Jesus, it's our greatest hope. It's the ultimate hope. Because of what he did, you and I can have eternal life, and we can be with him forever and have God with us right now as we navigate this crazy place called Earth. Amen. And so I want to preach a message entitled Hope today. And I want to share with you just 2 main thoughts of how I think the resurrection can connect to our lives right now in 2023. So I pray you receive this today. Open your heart and let God in. So Father, I thank you for this great moment we have. I thank you for your presence here with us, this great worship. And we feel you with us right now. Lord, I pray that you would keep us safe in this moment as we go about our week. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would take the courageous step and lay down any resistance, set aside our distractions. We would lean in for a few moments and receive something from you and move forward in our faith. Jesus, we are yours, and we say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 20. If not, just follow me on the screen. I want to read verses 1-8 to give context to the story of the resurrection. This is John's account, and it says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, and the linen cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart. Notice that, so it was lying separate from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Now, Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, in this account, were the first 3 to see that the tomb was empty. I can't imagine their emotions. At first, as you heard me read, you know, Mary thought that they had stolen the body. And after this initial encounter, Jesus would come and reveal himself to Mary Magdalene, and then, of course, to the apostles. After his resurrection, Jesus was walking the earth for 40 days in a glorified state, and then he ascended back into heaven. And I love the fact that the tomb was empty on this day, and the tomb is still empty right now in Jesus' name. Isn't that powerful? The resurrection is empty. But I want to ask you a question. Why in the world was the Son of God, the Messiah, the God-man, Christ Jesus, why was he even in this predicament in the first place? I mean, if he's God's son, why couldn't he have done something a little bit less dramatic and, you know, gotten out of this mess? Why was he crucified? Why was he dead to even need to be raised from the dead? What caused that? And I want to give context to that question and then share with you the two thoughts I have from this text on the resurrection connecting to our life. First, the reason why Jesus was in this predicament is because he came to remedy the problem of sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, we are born into sin. If you don't believe me, have a child. Amen. Now, we love our kids. They can't do, I mean, no wrong, but we know that's a lie because they do wrong a lot. Amen, as they grow up. And as our kids grow, we see a nature in them that reflects what the Scripture says. But beyond our kids, we reflect the sin nature, don't we? Yeah. Have you ever done something that was dumb? Like you didn't want to do it, but you did it, and it was just something stupid? Anyone raise your hand? If you don't raise your hand, you're lying, and God will get you on the way home before you have Easter dinner. So Summer and I's worst argument ever, we were in the car going to a married couples group here in our church, fighting on the way to the group. The pastor's fighting on the way to the group for married couples. And we are three boys in the car. We were arguing back and forth. And it wasn't, you know, yelling, but it was getting more intense with its, you know, barbs back and forth. And so she says something, I say something, and finally she says something. And then I do the dumbest thing I've ever done. I say something back to her, and then I want to punctuate it with this really bad statement. So I say something, and then I say, and do something with your hair. Now, I don't have room to talk. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But let me give you just a truth bomb right now. Never tell a woman, do something with your hair. It's not going to go well for you, okay? So let me tell you what happened. Summer killed me. I went to heaven. Jesus is real. Heaven is real. I've seen the streets of gold, folks. Serve Jesus today. You got to go with me someday. God brought me back to warn you. Don't do that, okay? Don't do it. And she still is married to me. Isn't that amazing? God bless her. She has a crown in heaven reserved for her. So all of us have done dumb stuff that reflect this problem of sin. Secondly, Jesus came, and when he died on the cross, he became sin so that we could be free from our sin. So any sin I've ever committed, Jesus took that on himself on the cross so that we could be free from sin. Every sin in this room and online, Jesus on the cross, he became it. Think about that. He became it so that we could be free from it. Then when he died, the Bible says he gave up his spirit. When he did that, the Bible says, I'm going to use this terminology just for our understanding, but in church at that time, in the main church setting, there was a massive curtain that separated God's holy presence from the people. When Jesus gave up his spirit, that barrier was ripped in two. And when he died, when that was ripped, what he was saying is, from that moment forward, anyone can get close to the presence of God. And I want you to hear me. Because of Jesus, we don't have to get cleaned up before we come to church or before we come to God. We don't have to get our life figured out before we come to Jesus. We don't have to, you know, do all the things we're doing and then, you know, fix ourselves and then come to Jesus. No, we can come to Jesus right now, no matter the state that we're in, and we can come into the presence of God. And we may be jacked up, messed up, backed up, high. We don't know who we are, where we're at. But God receives you and I, and he changes you and I, and he receives us and accepts us, and he has the power to transform us. Come on, give him praise real quick. This is what Jesus can do. I'm just telling you real quick, in short, this is why he was even in the predicament in the first place. Then he was raised from the dead physically. He was laying in a tomb for 3 days. He physically was raised from the dead, as we just read. And In his resurrection, he conquers death, hell, and the grave. The Apostle Paul said, from the resurrection of Jesus, death, where is your sting? So any person that has received Jesus, I want you to hear me, any person that has received Jesus, when we pass away, if we die before Jesus comes, death has no hold on us. When we die, we walk through death and we enter into heaven and see Jesus face to face. We have an encounter with God and we are going to a city whose builder and maker is God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so death has lost its power through the resurrection. Furthermore, if we've lost a loved one or a friend, they are more alive today than they ever have been in their life. They are not just in our past, they are in our future. And they're waiting for you and I right now. They're in eternity seeing Jesus face to face, hanging out with the angels, talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, eating donuts and having no calories, eating Jesus chicken. Come on. And they're having a good time. Where is that in the Bible? I don't know, but I believe it's there somehow. And they're waiting for you and I to get to heaven. This is why Jesus, this is, in a quick summation, this is why he was in the predicament to being raised from the dead. Jesus loves you. He's reaching for you. He's reaching for me. And he accepts you and I, and then he has the power and the grace to transform us into something we couldn't be by ourselves. Have you received Jesus today? What's the decision you've made with Jesus? Because all of us, every human, has to make the decision what they do with Jesus. If you've never received Christ, in other words, if you've never out of your mouth said, Jesus, save me, I would beg you to do it today. Today is the day of salvation. If you have received Christ, but you've drifted far from God, and when we do that, we know if you're far from God, come back to him. And I'm going to lead you to do that here in just a moment. But this is the greatest thing. We have to receive Christ and move forward. But with this being said, how does the resurrection tie into our lives in 2023? We read here that these three people saw that the tomb is empty. They highlight three different times the linen wrappings that were used for the burial of Jesus. How does this connect to us right now? Western world, different culture than what Jesus was in. How do we apply this? First, our tomb can be empty. I want you to please stay with me here just for a moment. Every one of us in this room and online has this survival tactic that we've used probably several times over to navigate life itself. And here's what we do. When we face disappointment, when our expectations are not met, when we face trauma, when we face, you know, devastation, when we face loss, when we face whatever it is, to survive, and this is not to hate on any of us, this is just how we survive, we take that very thing and we bury it in an invisible tomb. We put it in a compartment and we bury it so that we can move on. And so today, there's no doubt that some of us have taken our marriage. Maybe it's dead. Maybe it has died. And we just put it in the tomb and we've just said it's over. It's buried. Maybe some of us have lost our marriage and now we've buried the whole idea of marriage. And, you know, it's over. Maybe we've taken the dream that we have, the desires, the goals, and the ambition that we had to be something, to write a book, to have a business, to do this, to do that. It hasn't worked. So we take that, bury it, so that we can survive and keep going. The pain of the disappointment's too much to bear. We all do this. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's the idea of actually overcoming addiction. And we feel like we've tried, but we haven't, and it's not in the cards for us. So we take it and we just bury it. We just kind of just keep moving and hope it works out. And all of us have done this, but here's the beautiful thing, that if Jesus emptied his tomb, then Jesus can empty our tombs too. And the reason why we bury something is because we've been hurt. We don't want to feel it again. Now, I'm not talking about losing someone physically. I've lost family and friends, a lot of them, actually. And I've been to a lot of funerals. And that's, it's something we walk through in life. And I'm not referencing that, but I would say even in my experience with that, I've seen something new. God brings something new from that situation and bless me in ways that he didn't before, even in that loss. And so all of us do this, But here's the beautiful thing, is that Jesus came out of his tomb, and when we invite Jesus into our tomb, he can empty what is in there and give us new hope again. Just like these flowers up here on this stage. In the wintertime, we don't think of a flower even being in the ground or even, you know, functioning because the ground is frozen and it's over, and we think of just maybe this and that. But many flowers are in the ground during the winter, and the winter represents death, and it's cold, and it's not working. But the beautiful thing is when the season shifts and the sun comes out, what was in the ground begins to grow, and it blooms into a beautiful flower, and where we thought it was death, there's new life that comes. Could it be where you think it is over, it is done, and it will not come back, that when Jesus comes in the tombs of our life, he will empty that tomb, he will bring back to life the old hope, the dreams, and the idea that God had put in you in the first place, he will bring it back one more time. Come on, give him praise for that. He can do that. He can do that. And some of us are saying, PD, man, I'm too afraid. I can't be let down again. I know some of you right now, as you're hearing me, you're like, I don't know about this. And, you know, furthermore, I don't want to take the risk of letting him in and then it not work out. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God does not lead us into disappointment. And when you and I let him in, disappointment happens. We know that. But the Spirit of God can cause all things to become new. Hear me. He can cause all things to become new. And if his tomb was empty, our tomb can be empty. So here's what I want to encourage you with. Your marriage can have a resurrection. Your family unity can have a resurrection. Your dream can have a resurrection. Your purpose can have a resurrection. Your hope can have a resurrection. What God has put in you can come back through you. It's not done. It's not over. Let Jesus in. Let him breathe his life into that tomb and watch what God can do when his resurrection power touches the dead things of our life. Come on. Amen. Come on now. Some of you, I can tell, some of you maybe are like Eeyore off Winnie the Pooh. I don't know about that. This guy's crazy. This is not fantasy. This is faith. This is not, we're making something up to get through life. This is faith on the word of God. And God can do things that we can't do. So our tombs can be empty because his tomb is empty. I wonder today, what have you buried? What have you buried? What have you went through? Heart broke, disappointment, expectations not met, da-da-da-da-da. You took it and you put it in a tomb and you said, I got to move on. All of us have done it. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus can do something about it. And I believe that your tomb can be filled with the resurrection power of Christ, and whatever is in it can come to life again. But let's not stop there. Notice in the reading that I shared today in John 20, as I've mentioned three different times, John the writer is interesting. He's highlighting the linen wraps. What were the linen wraps? When Jesus died on the cross, they took him down. First off, we don't even understand how much blood and bodily injury he had. They cleaned his wounds the best they could, and then they wrapped his body in linens to prepare him for burial. They had a linen that was for the body, and we read here there was a separate linen for the head and the face. Even though they cleaned the wounds, we know that the blood was so much that those wrappings probably were stained with blood. And John writes three different times in our text that they saw the wrappings. So the main wrapping that was around the body's laying there, and then the head covering was folded up and placed differently where Jesus was, or once was. And they're looking at that, and what's cool is that if someone simply stole the body out of the tomb to move it, the wrappings would have come with it. But they were perplexed because why is he out of the wrappings? Well, because he's been raised from the dead. He's a bad dude. Come on, man. Jesus is all that in a bag of chips and a Diet Sprite. Come on. Yes, he is. And they see that. And the writer highlights it. Now, how does that connect to us? The second thing that Jesus can do is that he can our lives can be redeemed. And I want you to think about this in the idea of the wrappings. Our lives can be redeemed. So not only will Jesus come in and empty our tomb, Jesus can come in and take the wrappings that are there, the things that have wrapped us up in our life. What are the things that have wrapped us up in our life? Let's just go through it. It could be anger, resentment, bitterness, lust, addiction, blaming, blame shifting. I mean, it could be just, you know, we can go on and on, and we get it. And all this is around us, and it's a part of sometimes the burial process too, of being wrapped up in wrong stuff, and then just, well, it's over, and just, you know, shove it away, and it's, you know, move on. But really, Jesus wants to do something, not only by bringing back something that has died, but also touching something that has wrapped us up. And what this speaks to me is that not only will Jesus bring back to life something that is dead, Jesus will go into the situation around it, the things that have wrapped us up, the lingering of something, and he will put that thing back in order. And I want you to please hear me. So he's not just gonna bring us back to life. So let's just take marriage, okay? Not only can he give marriage a second chance, or maybe if you've lost your first spouse and it didn't work out, maybe if you get married again, say, just stay with me here on this example, and you're married again. So not only can he give a new life to a marriage, but the mess that caused the marriage to be on the rocks can be healed by the power of Jesus. So not only is there new life in the marriage, but now there's healing within the marriage, and all the old stuff is rectified, and God makes that new. Are you with me? So God does a complete work in us. He's not just bringing us back to life. He's actually bringing us back to life and healing all that is out of order. So anything in our life that is out of order, Jesus can bring it back in order. The stuff that is wrong, he can make right. The stuff that is messy, he can make straight. And the stuff that has caused devastation, he can heal us and cause us to be made whole. This is what Jesus can do. So Jesus wants to come into the tombs of our life, and we all have them. But not only that, he wants to heal it. He wants to fix it. He wants to restore it. He wants to mend it. He wants to mold it. He wants to do what he can do. He wants to fix us and put it in order, and he totally is healing every part of our lives. And this is possible only through Jesus. And so the resurrection power of Christ will give us life, and then he'll take the mess and he'll put it back together and put it in order and fix what was out of order. And even the head covering that was on Jesus that was folded neatly, and we read it here in John 20, many Jewish, I would say, traditions had a thought about that, and they called it a napkin. And they believed that because it was folded, what it meant was, is that I'm not done and I'm coming back. And so when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was free of the wrappings, and someone, him or the angel, took that, folded it, put it there where his head was, and it was saying, I'm not done here, I'm coming back. God's not done, he is still on the move. And could it be that God's not done with you? God's not done with your family. God's not done with your marriage. God's not done with your family tree. God's not done with your life. He's not done with your stuff. He's not done with your story. And I know all of us have come through a lot of mess, but he takes the mess and turns it into a message. He takes the pain and gives us purpose. He takes all the chaos and he gives us conviction. He takes all the stuff we've gone through and he uses it for his glory. That's why Joseph, who was sold as a slave and lied about and in prison, and then he was in the palace, he could look at the people that betrayed him and he could say, don't worry about it. What you meant for evil, God has turned for good. So the devil tried to take you out, but God can turn it around and use you for his glory. You may be messed up. That's the very thing that God can use. You may have more problems than a math book, but he can solve all the problems. He can turn everything around. This is faith. This is God. This is Jesus. This is hope. This is Christ. This is real. This is you. This is God, and he can come into your tomb and call out the dead thing. And then whatever's messed up, he can put it back in order. Come on, give him praise today. I believe it. Come on, give him praise. Let your heart wake up, oh my soul. Wake up, oh my soul. Wake up, oh my soul. This is Jesus we're talking about. He lives. He lives. He lives. Say, no. Prove it to me. Listen to me. Let me tell you how I know Jesus is real. First off, the Bible says it, and the Bible is the infallible word of God, proven over time. Did you know that historic events were prophesied in world history before they happened and came to pass? The Bible's true. But beyond the Bible, beyond history that verifies the life of Jesus and what he did, beyond all that, I'd probably say the greatest reason why I know he lives is because of what he's done in me. You see, you can't argue an experience. You can argue information, but you can't argue with someone's experience. And you can tell me hot dogs are bad, but I've already had them, and I think they're really good. Especially Chicago hot dogs by Wrigley Field. Come on, Chicago dogs. Yes, sir. You may not like it, but I've already experienced it. So people can wonder about this, but Jesus touched me. He saved me. He went down in and he transformed me. This is real. And if God did it for me, he can do it for you. If God did it for one person, he can do it for every person. And I know some of us have been beat and the life has just been beat out of us. But hear me today, the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing into your tomb and the dead things can come to life and the hope of what you dreamed can come to pass because Jesus knows every detail of your life. And when we give him our tombs, he can come in and do what we can't do. Furthermore, I've seen this happen in so many people in our church. For example, one couple in our church, they're here today. In year three of their marriage, there was an affair. On the outside looking in, people thought this marriage is dead, put it in a tomb, this family's over, move on. Go to someone else. She chose to forgive. He chose to make it right. And it didn't happen in a moment. There was a painful process of healing. It took time to restore trust. It took time to restore the bond that they had. But they equally decided, we're gonna do this and we're gonna let God come into this tomb and give resurrection life into this thing called our family. I got good news. This month, they're celebrating 26 years of marriage. And not only are they married for 26 years, but God took that story and they are keynote speakers all across the country at marriage conferences telling people that there's hope and so many marriages have been restored from their story. Furthermore, they're in ministry in our church. They're becoming pastors. Their kids are in ministry. Two of them are up here leading you in worship today. And this is what can happen when the resurrection life of God comes into a tomb. So when people said they're not gonna make it, God said, no, yes, they will. And when people said they're done, God said, I have a purpose. I have a plan for their life. And today they're doing it. God has a plan for your life. He has purpose for your life. And when people said you're gonna die and you're not gonna make it, the wind of God's coming in and picking you up and turning you around. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your life. I'm not pumping you up. I'm lifting you up by the power of the gospel. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. You can make it. You can take it. You can have it. Get up and do it. Let Jesus have your life and watch him turn it around and give life. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet and give God a big praise today. Let God in your tomb. Let God in your tomb. Let God in your tomb. Come on, let God in your tomb. Let God in your tomb. Let God in your home. Let God in your heart. Let God in your spirit. Hallelujah. Because if God did it for that couple, God can do something for you. Man, I'm preaching to a sweat. Come on now. You guys got me going up here. So when you eat your ham today and your Easter dinner, I want you to think about dead things coming back to life. and think about things that are out of order being put back in order. And if God's done it for one person, he can do it for the next person. And God's with you, and he's never left you. Please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven in this room and online. We're not here to embarrass you. We're here to help you move forward in your faith one step at a time. If you've never received Jesus, like I mentioned, you've never said, "Jesus, save me," I beg of you to do it today. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you have done that, but you're far from God, and you know it, and you need to reach for God again. And you would say, "Pastor Dave, I want to receive Christ for the first time, and or I want to come back to God, and I want my life to be in his hands." Heads bowed, heart bowed. You would say, "That's me right now." Shoot your hand up. I want to pray for you in this room. God bless you today. God bless you today. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. I see you in the back. God bless you. Awesome. 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 Come on, give it up. So many people. God bless you today. Good. God bless you. God bless you. I see it. God bless you. Yep. God bless you. I see it. God bless you here. God bless you. Come on, give it up. More raising their hand. I see that hand. I see it. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. So powerful. So many coming to Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. I see it. I see it. Good, good, good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I see it, man. It's powerful. And then you would say today, "Yep, I know what I've buried. I know exactly what I've buried. And I want Jesus to come into my tomb." How do we let Jesus come in our tomb? He's not here physically. We can't give him a piece of paper. You know, how do we do this? That's a great question. And here's how we do it. We give Jesus things through our words and through our faith. So here's an example. You could say today, "Jesus, I give you my marriage. It's over, man. My dream of doing this and this, man, it's over, but I give it to you. And Lord, I commit this into your hands. And I ask you to please give your resurrection life in it and help us, Jesus." And that's the beginning process of the resurrection power in the tomb. And so you would say today, "Pastor Dave, I know what I've buried, and I want God to give me a new life, and I want God to help me have things come back into order, what has been out of order." Just one more time, heads bowed again, and you would say, "That's me." Raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room and online today. Good, hands up all over. Thank you. Follow me and say this out loud and say, "Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn from that. I say yes to you. I choose to invite you in to the dead things of my life. Holy Spirit, give new life. Take what's out of order and put it in order. I won't let you go. I choose you every day. I'm yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's give him one more great and God for praise to that believer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.